Good morning, and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to day number 155 of our three-year journey through the Bible as we look today at Leviticus chapter 10 and one of the most sobering events in the Old Testament, and that is the death of Nadab and Abihu as they are judged for offering strange incense in the tabernacle worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your word that you've given to us. Thank you for the privilege of being able to worship you. We pray that our worship of you would be in spirit and in truth, obedient to your word and from the heart, pleasing to you in every way. And we pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus chapter 10. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near. Carry your brothers away from the front of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar his sons, "Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose, and do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that the Lord has kindled. And do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean. And you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that the Lord has spoken to them by Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons, "Take the grain offering that is left of the Lord's food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your sons' due from the Lord's food offerings, for so I am commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as the Lord has commanded." Now Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, "Why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary, as I commanded." And Aaron said to Moses, "Behold, today they have offered their sin offering and burnt offering before the Lord, and yet such things have happened to me. Such things as these have happened to me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would the Lord have approved?" And when Moses heard it, he approved. So Leviticus 10 tells us of this rather sobering, shocking event. Nadab and Abihu, they're the older two sons of Aaron the high priest. They've been taught, they've been instructed, they've been trained. We saw how in all of the construction of the tabernacle, in all of the consecration of the priests, the people of God obeyed the Lord perfectly. It was some rare times in the history of the people of God when they perfectly obeyed the Lord, but they did so in the construction of the tabernacle and in the consecration of the priest. But now, sometime later, Nadab and Abihu do not obey the Lord. They disobey the Lord. They bring what they think they should be able to bring. They're worshiping according to their own thoughts and their own desires, not according to the commandment of God. This is one of many incidents in Scripture that have led Reformed-minded Christians to embrace what's known as the regulative principle of worship. Tomorrow, if you're watching this on the day that this comes out, tomorrow is the Lord's Day, and our message for tomorrow will be on the second commandment. You shall not make any graven image, and you shall not bow down to them. And this is the regulation for how we are to worship God. So the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, is a commandment that tells us we may not worship other gods. It tells us who we are to worship. The second commandment says you can't make any graven images, you can't bow down before them. It tells us how we are to worship God, and that is we are not to make images, we are not to worship God in a pagan way. That commandment, and then incidents like this, and the golden calf incident, and the golden calves that were made later by Jeroboam, the first king of the northern tribes of Israel, and many, many others, the high places that Hezekiah and Josiah tore down that were high places dedicated to Yahweh, all of these have led Reformed folks to say, wait a minute, Scripture seems pretty clear that God wants to be worshipped according to His word, according to His commandment, and not according to the creative imaginations of people. It's not up to us to say, oh, what can I come up with as a new way of worshiping God? I know, let's have worship Yahtzee, and we'll gather in church and we'll play Yahtzee and we'll say praise the Lord every time we get a five, you know, a five of a kind, and that'll be our worship to God, you know. And that's of course a ridiculous example, but you know, there's things in churches like showing video clips in the middle of sermons, or having dramas and plays and performances and lights and smokes and sound and all these extra things. And of course, when you get to the Catholic and the Orthodox traditions, you also have statuary and pictures, which are expressly forbidden by the Second Commandment. So there's all sorts of ways in which people have sort of played fast and loose with the worship of God. Either in the Catholic or Eastern Orthodox tradition, they violated the Second Commandment very explicitly by making carved images in the Catholic tradition or making painted images in the Orthodox tradition and venerating those things, bowing down, burning incense, praying to these statuary or these icons, which are a clear violation of the Second Commandment. Or in the evangelical charismatic world, there's not a lot of statuary or icons, but there's all sorts of innovation in worship. You know, let's try this, or let's do that, or let's try this new thing. Rather than sticking to the simple and the plain commanded elements of worship that God has given us. So here we have a very sobering example for all of us that God is holy, and He is jealous. You see, we are to worship the Lord our God only because He is holy. He's one of a kind, in a category by Himself, set apart. He is God alone. But He's also a jealous God, He tells us in the Second Commandment, and that means He's jealous for our hearts. He's jealous for our worship to be right and glorifying to Him, so that we're not creating a false god in our minds by sort of everything about how we worship speaks of what we think of God, or what we think God is like. And if we worship according to our imaginations rather than according to the Word of God, then we're dreaming up a God who's not the God of Scripture, and now we're worshiping a false God. So really breaking the Second Commandment leads you back to breaking the First Commandment. It's a vicious cycle. And this is really what Nadab and Abihu are doing. They think, oh, I've got something that I think God will like. Well, God didn't tell you to offer that. It wasn't commanded by God. It wasn't according to the Word of God. It was according to your human imagination. And so they die. That may seem like an extreme penalty, but the truth is, if Nadab and Abihu were not obedient to the Word of God from the heart, most likely they were dead spiritually anyway. Most likely they were not believing the Word of God because they weren't seeking to obey the Word of God. And so really it's a just and due penalty for these unbelievers, these
people who scoff at God's word and who think that they can replace God's word with their own to be coming in and leading worship. We've seen that happen in the church so many times. Not only have churches innovated in terms of worship practices, but they've also modified God's word to innovate in terms of doctrine. Oh, the Bible says that we're all sinners. That makes us feel bad. Let's say we're all good people. Oh, the Bible says you have to believe in Jesus for salvation. That's very narrow-minded. Let's say that all religions are the same. So you see, innovation in worship practices and innovation in theology and doctrine both come from the same place, and that is despising the word of God. And so Nadab and Abihu were leading God's people in worship as they despised the word of God. And that is not acceptable. Not acceptable at all. If you are going to a church, if you're not coming to Forest Hill, you're going to some other church, and your pastor does not believe in the word of God, does not teach and preach the word of God, does not seek to lead the worship according to God's word, and in fact despises the word of God, or you're part of a denomination that broadly and openly despises the word of God by going directly against the clear commandments of Scripture, then I think you have an obligation to find a church where the leadership and the preaching and the teaching and the structures are biblical, biblically faithful and God-honoring, because God takes all violations of his worship, of his word, by his people very seriously. He doesn't strike everybody dead like he did with Nadab and Abihu, but he takes all violations just as seriously. He is holy and he is jealous for our worship, and so we are to be his holy people, and we are to worship him according to his word. Now, Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar are now the priests. So Nadab and Abihu have been really succeeded by Eleazar and Ithamar, their two younger sons. And they're told that they're to eat part of these sacrifices because it's their due, right? The Lord's food offerings, the parts that are for them, part of the sin offering, the unleavened bread, it's for them. But on this day, they are so shocked and they are so stunned at the holy justice of God that they just allow the fire to consume everything rather than taking their portion. And Moses rebukes them for that. And basically Aaron says, we offer the sin offering, and this still happened to Nadab and Abihu. We're afraid. We're in awe of the Lord and his power and his wrath, and we feel unworthy of eating these things. And Moses says, okay, I understand. This is God being compassionate to say, we understand. You just saw your sons die. You just saw the holy power and wrath of God, and now you're stunned, and you're stunned into an inaction where you can't do the things that you're being asked to do because you don't feel yourself worthy. You're kind of in shock at the death of your sons. And so Moses says, okay, so God is holy and God is jealous, but God is also gracious and he's also compassionate. And what we can be so thankful for is that even if our worship isn't all that it should be, and if we're honest, our worship is never all that it should be. Like, we never honor God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength the way we should. We get distracted in worship. We're sort of half-hearted, half paying attention, thinking about what's for lunch, thinking about where we're going in the afternoon, which we shouldn't do. We should set aside all those things. We should worship God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with in spirit and in truth, with a focused mind and heart. But we don't always, right? Our worship is not perfect. We can know that God is gracious and compassionate. And if we're seeking to worship him according to his word, if we're seeking to honor him because of who he is and what he's done for us, then he willingly and graciously overlooks our flaws and our natural human frailties. So we should take a sober warning from this, but we shouldn't take it so far that we think, well, I can't ever worship God perfectly because of my distracted mind and my frail human nature, and so I'm just not going to worship God at all because it can never be perfect. No, don't think that. God wants sincere worship from the heart that is seeking to be in conformity with his word, that is seeking to glorify him. It doesn't have to be perfect, but God is looking for sincere worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we be such worshipers. May we be the ones who worship you in spirit and in truth by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his glory in his church, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, that's day number 155, Leviticus 10. Tomorrow, we're going back to Romans, right? Let me just check my sheet, make sure I'm on the right track. Yep. Romans chapter 10. Ooh, a good one. Romans 10 tomorrow. Looking forward to that. Hope you can join us. Hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.